Once upon a time, there was a group of determined, intrepid people. And they set out to return from exile to the homeland they'd left many years before. They had a purpose, they had a mission. They were going to take back and rebuild their kingdom and restore its most sacred place. So they set out with great enthusiasm, and along the way they discovered it wasn't as easy as it was cracked up to be. There was hardship, there was opposition, there was danger, difficulty, discouragement. But they had good counsel and wise leadership, and they listened and they persevered until finally there they were on the brink of success. Sorry, wrong epic adventure. Oh, it's been on this week. Haggai restoring the temple, the Jewish people returning home from exile. Wow, I might finish now. Okay, some of you are probably thinking, who is this crazy woman? What is she talking about? Who's Haggai? Turn to your neighbour and say, who is Haggai? If you've been here for the last 2 weeks, you should know, because we've been talking about him for 2 weeks. Haggai is a prophet. Turn to your neighbour and say, Haggai is a prophet. Hey. Haggai is a prophet. He's a minor prophet, but don't let that distract you. His book is in the Old Testament, sandwiched between Zephaniah and Zechariah, who also were minor prophets. His book is only 2 chapters long. Don't let that deceive you either. It packs a mighty punch. Because you see, in the book of Haggai, there are 3 messages from God to the children of Israel that he delivered to them in a relatively short space of time. And today I have the pleasure to bring you the 3rd exciting installment. So if you haven't been here or if you've forgotten, let me refresh your memory. Previously in the Middle East, the time is now. We've been talking about Haggai, and in week 1 we heard from Tim, and he spoke about the time is now to consider our ways. You see, the children of Israel had returned home, like the dwarves, full of enthusiasm, woo. But they'd got sidetracked, and for 18 years they'd been sitting on their hands, basically, not to put too fine a point on it. And so Tim's message was about how God challenged them. Consider your ways. Take the hard decision to act, because I'm with you. And we learned that applies to us as well. God has things for us to do, and we should stop procrastinating. He is with us. Do the work. And then last week we heard from Karen, the 2nd message of Haggai. Persevering through discouragement. Because see, God knew that it was tough. And he knew that the children of Israel were looking back to the pre-exile temple that Solomon had built, which was amazing. And they're thinking, we can never do as good as that. Why don't we just give up now? And his message to them was, no, be strong, do the work, keep going, I'm with you. And in the same way, we applied it to ourselves. Be strong, persevere. I am with you, says the Lord. So here we are, week 3. You ready? The time is now for the blessings of obedience. Woohoo! I'm glad you're excited. Turn to your neighbour and say, are you ready for the blessing? Sorry, there's just one little problem. It's not going to be that kind of message. Sorry. Because Haggai's 3rd message, if you noticed before, it's kind of a bit weird. And it's actually very confronting. As I've been preparing, I've said to God, are you kidding? I don't want to preach this to myself, let alone anybody else. Because the children of Israel had returned and finally they were on the point of taking action. They were on the point of overcoming their discouragement. But they'd forgotten about the elephant in the room, or should I say, the dragon. Let me introduce you to the dragon of conditional obedience, aka terms and conditions. You know what they are, don't you? The fine print? Who's ever had somebody wriggle out of a contract by the fine print? Conditional obedience is when that happens with a response to God. And the Israelites sadly had a long and painful history with this beast. Almost as soon as the day they became God's nation, way back at the beginning of the Bible, and Moses is leading them out of Egypt in the Exodus, problem started. He showed up. I'll do it my way. Sorry, God, this is not what we signed up for, a trek through the wilderness. Where's our food? We were better off in Egypt. Sorry, God, this is just not working. This manner is boring. Can we have some proper food, please? Gosh. They show up to the promised land. God says, take it. The spies go in. The spies come out. The spies say, no. Their giants are too big. We'll do it our way. And as Karen said last week, for decades, for generations, for centuries, the history of the Israelite people was up and down and back and forth. And yes, God, we're your people. We are following you. And no, God, we're not, because over here there's these gods of the Canaanites. They look far more interesting, actually. And we're going to have a lot more fun hanging out with them. But you're still our God and you'll still bless us, won't you? But before we get too judgy on those poor old Israelites, the time is now to think about ourselves. Would we ever do that? We sing, I surrender all, I surrender. What's really going on in our heads? I'll surrender some, I'll surrender this bit over here, but not that bit over there, because I want to keep that bit for myself. Lord, I give you my heart, but on my terms, in my way and in my time. I love the scriptures, Lord. They speak to me of the promises of your word. They speak to me of blessings. They speak to me of abundance. And they speak to me about forgiving my neighbor who I don't like. I'll take those bits under advisement. Yeah, we snicker. Have you heard this beast roar in your backyard? If we're honest, we have. I heard him this week. Okay, time for a little honest confession here. I've been working through something and saying to God, I don't know what to do. What do I do? Give me some wisdom. And God says, well, come and talk to me about it. He wakes me up one morning this week before my usual time. Don't you hate it when you wake up before the alarm goes off? And I know he's saying to me, Louise, hey, good morning. Come and talk to me. Come hang out with me. Let's talk about this thing. And what did I do? Too early, God. I'm tired. Later. I hit the snooze, back to sleep. And of course, I didn't talk to God later, and I was late for work into the bargain. And it might seem like something small and insignificant, but I have just disobeyed my king. What were we singing at the beginning of the service? This is Amazing Grace, the King of Glory. And I told him I don't want to hang out with him. So what can we learn from Haggai's painful message about dealing with this beast? Let's have a look at these weird verses we heard before. Thank you, Jackie. It's a really twisty reading. But let me tell you, what's happening here is that Haggai is employing a classic teaching technique. And if you've ever been a teacher, any teachers in the room? There's a few. I bet you've done this. I have. You ask a question that you already know the answer to, because you're going to make a point, yeah? So Haggai says, this is what God wants to know, O priests of Israel, about the law. Tell me, you've got holy meat in your pocket and it brushes against something else. Does that make the other stuff holy too? And the priest, you can almost see the eye roll. You know, everyone practice your eye roll. Duh, Haggai, everybody knows that. No, holiness does not transfer. As my good friend Rosie Keane says, there's no such thing as secondhand holy. There's a whole other message in there, but anyway, keep that and park it in your mind. He goes on, asks another question to which he knows the answer. What about this situation? If I'm ritually impure because, ew, I touched a dead body, sorry, and now I touch something else, does that transfer the impurity? And the priests are like, oh, yeah, it does. Now, it might not be so obvious for us, but if we think about it in our terms, take a clean glass of water and a dirty glass of water. Can the clean glass make the dirty glass clean? Can the dirty glass make the clean one dirty? Yeah, this is not rocket science. Haggai then proceeds to make his point, and it's painful. The Eternal One says, this is what he sees. when he looks over this people and this nation, everything they have done and everything they have brought there as a spiritual offering is impure. Ouch! You can almost feel the righteous indignation rising in the Israelites. What are you talking about, God? We are building your temple. How can that be impure? We're doing what you want. How can that be impure? Are you telling us that what we're doing is a waste of time? And God's like, in a nutshell, But then it gets worse. Buckle in. He says to the children of Israel, think about these last 18 years. Consider how things have been. How did it turn out for you? Were you able to do it without me? Hello, TNC Dragon, I'll do it my way. You came to scoop grain and you expected 20 measures, you only got 10. You wanted 50 litres from the wine vat, you only got 20. I crushed you. And everything you tried to do under your own power with scorching heat, mildew and hail, and still you didn't turn to me. This is tough stuff. Let's just pause for a moment where the bold starts. Did you get that? God's saying to them, I've done this. I'm allowing you to experience pain. Oh, we don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. None of us want to hear that. Makes us really uncomfortable. How do we process that? A God who loves us is allowing us to suffer. There's a big picture here. You know, last year we actually had a really good sermon about why God permits bad stuff to happen, and I highly recommend it. A gentleman from Ravi Zacharias Ministries came and unpacked that. But here we're speaking about a specific thing for the Israelites. And what I am not saying is that everything bad in our lives is like God punishing us, smiting us with thunderbolts. That is not true. Sometimes evil stuff is sent directly from the evil one. And sometimes we live in a broken world and rubbish just happens. Jesus said it's going to be a world of trouble. Expect it. But sometimes God says, I have allowed you to sit in this. How do we deal with that? How do the Israelites deal with it? But you see, there's something much bigger at stake here. We sit in this painful moment. We go, I don't like this picture of God. I don't understand what you're talking about. This doesn't make sense to me. I thought we were talking about blessings. And God says, there's a much bigger thing at stake. And it's not a thing at all. Because, oh Israel, it doesn't matter what you say. And it doesn't matter what you do. And I don't care how awesome the temple is that you build me when your hearts are not with me. Still, you didn't turn back to me, says God. I don't care about the temple. I want your heart. But it's divided. You're letting the dragon roam. And when a dragon roams, he brings desolation and defilement and a big mess. The ugliest thing about conditional obedience is what it does to our relationship with God. When the terms and conditions come into it, it takes something that should be beautiful, something that should be a loving, deep, intimate, personal relationship with our Creator God. And it squishes it down, and it pokes it in, and it peels it back to this sterile little transaction. Quid pro quo. You bless me, and I'll serve you. You do this, and I'll do that. I'll do that part, but not this part. What kind of relationship is that? This is the kind of relationship that winds up with. Jesus quoted Isaiah when he was challenging the Pharisees about this kind of situation. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce. Do you know how hard it is for a worship leader to read that verse? Can you imagine the pain that sits in my heart when I read this and think, have I done this? Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. You ignore God's law and you substitute your own tradition. And here comes the dragon again, wrecking everything. I do not want to live that way, because I was designed for more. You know, you think it's painful for us to think about God allowing tough stuff to happen? What about the pain he's in watching us limit him? I hear his voice speaking to me. I hear his voice speaking to me and saying, like Haggai said to the Israelites, how's your heart, Louise? Is it divided? Are there bits you've taken back? Are you putting the fine print on me? How's that working out for you? Please don't limit what my love wants to do in your life, because you reduce our relationship to an equation. I don't want to live that way. I want to slay this dragon. Who else wants to slay this dragon? Anyone? Yeah, good. Let's do it. So how? How do we do it? Well, actually, we don't. Because the first step we have to take is to undivide our hearts, so to speak. We have to bring our hearts back. And that only happens when we obey. When we obey the first and greatest commandment first. Here it is. Love the Lord your God. Gee, it's not rocket science, is it? You don't have to study for 50 years to learn this. It's not easy, but it's simple. And God was so determined we'd get it, he parked it in Deuteronomy 4 times, in Joshua twice, and in the New Testament 3 times. That's without all the other unpackings and paraphrases. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength. Did you catch the bit that this is a commandment? See, love's not a feeling, love's a choice. Love's not an emotion. Love is something we decide. Because it's the same, actually the same thing as obedience. When we obey, we love. And when we love, we obey. And then the two sides of the same coin. And when we do this, when we get this one right first, then all the other things don't need the terms and conditions. Because we get to another obedience and we go, oh, I've already decided. I've already chosen. I love God first. I obey God first. That's where our journey begins. Most of us, many of us have probably done this for the first time. You know, we start off on that journey following Jesus. But like Eugene Peterson wrote a book about this, it's a long obedience in God's direction. And we may have to deal with this dragon on a daily basis. Or if you're like me, it might even be hourly at times. Here's the second thing that helps us with that. We rely on God's consistency, not our own. Because even when we mess up, like those poor old Israelites, he is faithful. He remains faithful. He can't deny who he is, the King of glory, the God of amazing grace. And you know what also is awesome about this? I am certain that God who began the good work, God started the good work, God's already dealt with the big boss dragon. That's why he is consistent. That's why he is faithful and we can depend on him. He's already dealt with it. He's won the war. When Jesus gave his life for us, he sent a cross-shaped arrow through the heart of the enemy. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he stomped into the dust anything that was left. Yeah? Is anybody excited about that? Oh, good. I'm glad you are. Maybe you're hearing it for the first time, that Jesus died for you. He wanted to deal with this for once and for all. If this is the first time you've heard it, it's the best news you'll ever hear, and don't leave here without taking hold of it. And if you haven't, if it's not the first time you've heard it, where's your amen? God has already won. And so his consistency provides us what we need to go from day to day in that long obedience in his direction. I am certain that the God who began the good work in you will finish it. Yeah, amen. Man, I feel so far away from it sometimes. You look into the distant future and it's like this tiny little thing on the horizon, and then you just get another glimpse and God's like, I'm here, remember? Action, consider your ways. Don't be discouraged. I am with you. And that is the third thing that we need to fix our minds on to keep an undivided heart. Stay close to him. Did you notice that both times, the first two messages from Haggai, it's because I am with you. that you can do the decisions. It's because I am with you that you can overcome discouragement. Remain in me, Jesus said to his disciples, and I will remain in you. Because apart from me, you can do?
Nothing.
Say it again.
Nothing.
What can we do without God?
Nothing.
And that's why he said to the Israelites, your works are defiled. You're doing it on your own without me. You can do nothing. You can't make your own dirty water clean. Let me do it. I've done it. Just, I'm here with you. Just be with me. Your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously. He will give you everything you need. Like I said, it's simple but not easy. It's a daily discipline to remember that we have chosen. Love, obey, love, obey, love, obey, love, obey, as our first and greatest. It's a daily discipline to rely on God's consistency and not go, oh, but. It's a daily discipline to stay with him. Good news is he's already with us. We just have to look. And here's the beautiful thing about the end of this passage. You're wondering where those blessings of obedience were? Here they are. Right here, in an undivided heart. Right here, in a restored relationship with our Creator God. Right here. Because from this day, from this moment, he blesses. I mean, he's already been blessing. And as we reunite our heart, we join that process again. Haggai said to the children of Israel, this is what God says, you haven't started rebuilding the temple yet, so what? There's no harvest, so what? You haven't got the planting done, so what? There's no fruit on the trees. I'm still going to bless you from this day for the simple reason that your hearts are returning to me. Blessings of obedience is the returning undivided heart. That relationship with God that will be all we ever need, so much more than we can imagine. Why would you want a boring little boxy transaction when you can have a relationship like this? And you know, from the Israelites, there were some practical blessings from this as well. They went on and they got the temple built in, I think, another 4 years. Sat around doing nothing for 18, built the temple in 4. They also became supported by the rulers of the time. They actually had another guy come and say, what are you doing here? You can't do this. They sent back to the king and he said, yeah, they can. You go and support them. It wasn't perfect all the way along their journey, but God provided what they needed and he did bless them in practical ways as well. And I don't know what those look like for you. Only God does. But the most important blessing of obedience you will ever get is that heart back with God. There's nothing like it. So let's see that dragon slain today. I invite you to join me because I'm going to do it again. As I said, it's a discipline that I have to commit to regularly. Love, obey first. So we're going to pray and we're just going to sit here in a moment of silence. And I invite you to put your hand, or both hands if you want, on your heart. I want an undivided heart. You can put your hands there now if you want. You don't have to, but you can do it when we close our eyes. I want you to think about what God is saying to you. What's he saying? Are there parts of your heart that you put some little fine print on? Only if you do this, God. I'll do that part, but not this part. Are there bits you've taken back? I don't want you to deal with that bit. It's too painful. Just give him the lot. You won't believe what he gives you in return. So I invite you to close your eyes, put your hands on your heart, and let's take a moment to think about what God is saying, and then I'm going to pray. Great and mighty God, King of glory, my God. Here I am, and I say, you're my God. Here we are, your people, Lord. We want you to be our God. We want an undivided heart. We want a restored relationship with you. We don't want to keep you in a box. God, I thank you that you've already dealt with the enemy. I thank you that every time we fix our eyes on you, when we fix our heart on you, you deal with that terms and conditions dragon and you kick him out. God, I thank you today that we can bring ourselves to you and say, here it is. Take these bits, whatever they are. Take these pieces, whatever it means for me. Reunite my heart. Thank you for being with me. Thank you that you are here with me. Help me to stay with you. God, we your people ask this in the precious name of Jesus who makes it possible. Amen. I'm going to invite the music team to come and lead us in a beautiful song. Because there may be other things that you would like to pray about. And if it's the first time that you've done that, we'd love to pray with you. So some of the prayer team are going to come and be available if you would like to pray further. Or you can do that after the service as well. Or if you prefer, you can just sit and process all this, listen to the song, which is powerful, and let God speak to you further. But thank you for sharing with us, and may your heart continue to be undivided.